The Anton Savage Show with Kearies.ie on News Talk.
The Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, is with us in studio. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Anton. How are you?
I am very good. I believe you are annoyed at Micheál Martin.
No. It was reported. We had a conversation last Monday. We do a leaders' meeting. I just said, listen, we've got to be careful on all the promises. To be honest, I was saying it to Fine Gael as well as Fianna Fáil. And because at the conventions, and listen, we're all promises. The world of politics is not a rare thing. But I just felt, I think we have to be careful. The budget will be in October. And you kind of all sorts of kind of hints that, oh, this, that and the other is going to be in the budget. I just think, well, I think firstly, the electorate is slightly tired of that, doesn't really believe it and doesn't really sway them. But also, you end up, someone's going to be disappointed because we won't be able to meet all those promises. So I just said that in a private conversation, which we have every Monday in a leaders' meeting. It was picked up on.
You said you gave away 2 billion.
I think it was 2.2. I was talking to Micheál as it happens the other day, and, you know, we work well together, and Micheál can understand. I'm entitled to make that case in that point. I was surprised that it went public, but...
Were you resentful that it went public?
No. There's enough things to be done in the world. If you get resentful about things like that, you've...
Does that mean that you don't believe those promises? Because we were told from, I can't remember which order, I think Simon Harris was promising, promising us 50,000 houses a year, which outstrips the current targets by about 40-something percent. Micheál Martin said 40,000. Are you looking at that saying, guff?
No, I think we will be in the next government be building the order of 50,000 a year. I think that we're already on track to that. And I think, I think even this year, we don't know exactly how many houses are going to be built this year, but the expectation is going to get up towards 40,000, maybe 38,000 to 40,000.
Does the 50 come from?
Given the commitments, because there's more coming. Because the policies actually are working.
But this could be years down the line, assuming another government continues the same policies. This is not something that is near term, is it?
I do. I see it as near term. Look out, Anton. Look out. See the cranes around this city. And we need to make sure, two or three things we need to make sure. Firstly, we need to make sure it's not just Dublin. We have to make sure we get balanced development and houses built in Cork, Galway, Waterford, Limerick, and in every town around the country and village.
But hang on a minute, this seems paradoxical. On the one hand, you're saying that what they say in terms of targets is accurate, and on the other hand, you're giving out about them doing giveaway promises.
I wasn't giving out about the housing targets. What I was saying is particularly around, we're going to have tax cuts, and we're going to spend. And Irish politics back in the decades has shown that sort of mixture of promising all the tax cuts and all the spending increases is not clever. And there are certain constraints. But can I go back to the housing? The first thing we need to do is, because we will build the guts of 50,000 houses in the years to come. But we need to make sure a lot of them are outside Dublin because we'd get better balanced region development. Secondly, though, it isn't just the number of houses. It's, are they affordable? Like, what's the price? Can you raise a family? Can you raise family kind of, you know, in a way that's affordable? And thirdly, it's also about what sort of houses or what sort of community. Like, it's about the local environment. It's about having housing in an area where you've really good public transport, where you've really good local environment, where you've local parks.
Which all sounds great, but how do you deliver that when your hair is on fire trying to build houses as fast as you possibly can?
Well, you do the two at the one time. You bring down the cost. If you get things like the energy, water, transport parts right, it actually lowers the cost of accommodation. It actually improves the value of it. So that's what you have to do. It isn't just numbers. It is building communities what we need to do.
I know that people will be listening and saying, this would be great if you were in opposition, but you have been in government for multiple years at this point. These are the aspirations you should have delivered rather than still having.
Well, they are being delivered. I mean, as I said, the housing numbers have increased significantly in recent years. In the last 3 years, they will jump again this year and they'll jump again next year. But also the quality, and maybe I just take a few specific examples. Give an example where you put this together in a way that works. And I mentioned it yesterday in the speech I gave at our convention. You look at Waterford. Waterford is our fastest growing city. It really has the potential in going green. We're building a new sustainable bridge across the River Shore. It's called transport-led development. So by putting that bridge in, you can now build, or we're going to build, along the North Quays of the Shore. And it's spectacular. Riverfront, really beautiful, within walking distance across that bridge and the other side of the city. And that's the example of what I mean. It's a city where our housing, which is close to amenities, which is a beautiful location, which is really energy efficient, so they're low cost to run as well as to buy, which is really good transport right outside the front door. That's happening. And I could go across. I was down at Colbert Station last week in Limerick. Look at Colbert Bus Station. It's fantastic. And we're going to put housing right around the bus station.
But that doesn't get you away from the fact that you still need to be building between 15 and 25,000 houses more than you currently are every year. However pretty ones might be along the river shore, it doesn't get those 15,000
But if you look at the first 3 months this year, and I don't have the exact figures here, but the commencements that are already in this first quarter and the planning permissions that are approved are already on track for that. We will be building 50,000 houses a year within the next 2 years, in my mind, without any doubt.
Go back to the issue we were talking about a little bit earlier on, which was that thing of you being critical of Micheál Martin and also of Simon Harris in relation to the promises that they had made. There has been, up until this point, it seemed, relative equanimity among the three party leaders. Is this the first indication that you are all beginning to jostle as the election comes up?
I don't think so. I mean, I think like that happens. It happened the last time. Any time, I think, particularly maybe when you have a new Taoiseach, it takes a while to settle in and just to learn the kind of, or for all of us to kind of get used to the work.
He needs the corners knocked off him.
No, I just think it takes a while to work out, you know, between the relationships. How do you make agreement? How do we kind of sort things out without it being done in public?
Are you not tied to the programme for government?
Yes, and I think it's a really good programme for government, particularly a very good green one. So that is, that's still the best way of running a government, where you agree in advance. And that means when it comes to making decisions, if it's something is already set out as a commitment to the programme for government, then you don't spend your whole time haggling on it. You've already done that at the very start. So yeah, programme for government is the way to go.
But I get the sense that you are finding more haggling now than you would have previously, that the experience with Simon Harris in that troika is more challenging than it was with his predecessor?
We're only 2 weeks into the first to a new Taoiseach, so I don't think there's been any sign of that yet, no.
But you did say that you need to find a way of working, you need to find a way of, I think you said, making agreement that doesn't end up in public?
Yeah, in the same way that would have been the case when Micheál Martin took on Taoiseach and when Leo Varadkar took it back, it always takes a few weeks to work out how do we operate here.
Why the digs in the speech last night?
At who?
Well, you said that the budget was for October. It doesn't take much of a massive inference to judge that what you are saying is, lads, wind in your necks when it comes to giving big promises ahead of the budget. That's fairly clear.
Yeah, but because I think that's my political assessment. I think the Irish public would say the same. And I suppose one other thing, it was an opportunity for me to say, when it comes to the budget, the one commitment I said, or the one thing I said, which I think is true, is one thing we know for certain, the budget will protect those on lowest incomes in the autumn. We have had four budgets. Every single one of them, we were able to demonstrably show on budget day, independent research by the Economic and Social Research Institute, that the lowest income households in our country benefited most. And I think that's something we're all agreed on, and it's a check on all the promises in a way. Because, I mean, everyone else could say, oh, they promised this, that and the other, every single tax cut. But if you can't then make the budget progressive, it won't be agreed. And I think that was the one.
I'm intrigued by your choice to decide to use that platform to do it, because you would know that people will see you do that and think, oh, there's sharp elbows.
No, I don't think I said anything about it in the speech. I said it, I suppose, in the press conference earlier, because it was in the Irish Independent, front page in the Irish Independent. So I had to respond to that, which was fine. But that wasn't the centre point. Centre point in my speech yesterday was that we need to keep going green, that we have European elections ahead of us and local elections. And actually, the big question in the European elections, which is hugely important for our country and the world, is in the last month or two, there's been a rowing back from green in Brussels. The nature restoration law, which we agreed, which the Irish MEPs got over the line, is now being stalled. The presidency of the council last week came out with a strategy plan for the European for the next 5 years, which effectively rode back on the Green Deal, on being ambitious on climate and on being ambitious in restoring nature. And I think the choice before the electorate in both local and European elections is, okay, do we give up on climate? Do we give up on green? Do we give up on restoring nature? As a lot of political people are now saying they want to do, not just the far right, but other parties. And I think the answer to that is no. If we said no, if we give up on climate, we give up on the future for our children. And also, I think, on our economic security and on our competitiveness.
Well, on the economic security, how do you react to what seems to be the positioning of the green agenda against the economic growth agenda? Because there have been a number of stories recently about things like the data centre ceilings, that there is a limit to how many data centres that will come in. And an awful lot of them say that part of the reason, that the prime reason is the case, that the Green Party will not wear further data centres and an expansion of the grid.
Can I go into detail now? Before I do, just make a broad point. In the last two decades, our emissions per person, per capita in this country, dropped 50%. We cut them in half, which is fantastic in terms of the, compared to other countries. We are actually good at going green. Our population has grown, so our emissions went up. But at the same time, our income went up 43%. Our average income. So you can actually retain prosperity and be good at the environment. Now, data centres, which are a very important industry for our country, bring real benefits. It's not just in their own operations, but a lot of the technology companies that are based here, whose profits are a large source of our tax income, that those data centres are central to their business, and having them here helps us locate other businesses here connected to them. So we do want data centres. But there are limits. Firstly, we're the data centre capital of Europe. We have more than anyone else, certainly per capita. We're way ahead of anyone else. And that's good. But there are certain constraints. Most of them are in Dublin for reasons, not necessarily about the energy, but for reasons about the telecommunications latency, complex reasons. But we have limited availability in Dublin of the electricity grid to be able to build more in Dublin. And secondly, we also have limited power capacity because they use so much power. We have to expand, we have to start delivering the likes of the offshore wind projects to be able to have the power to run them. But also, we want to start building outside Dublin. Going back to what I said earlier on about not everything tipping over into the East Coast. And there are ways we can start doing that now. But another reason is there is a climate limit for every industry. And data centres don't have an opt-out. Now, you can't be saying to the farmers, you have to do this, oh, but the data centres have an exception, they have a pass. No. It is possible for us to develop data centres in a climate zero way. I've been talking to most of the companies last week. I think I've probably met every single, not just the big international companies, but also the Irish companies making them. They agree with me, I think, that actually their future has to be zero carbon. And you can do that when you get a combination of renewable power to run them, battery and other storage systems to give flexibility and backup at the time the wind isn't blowing, flexibility in their demand, so running them in a kind of clever way, and also using the waste heat for district heating.
Now, without wishing to be facetious, if I am a large multinational data centre operator and I am weighing up, when I talk to Ireland, they talk to me about battery storage and heat recovery and all of the rest of it. When I talk to Denmark or Finland or Norway or wherever else, they say roll up and connect. Why would they go through the former when they can do the latter?
Because this is the future. Because this is the way the world's going to go. Everyone's going to have to live with.
But as we wait for the future, would we not be better to benefit economically from their presence and improve the grid?
We do. We have a lot of them here. But being ahead of this, being part of the future, being good at what they know they're going to have to do anyway, they actually agree with us on that. I've met all these large companies at the highest level, top board level globally. And they say, yeah, you're right. They will not have social license to operate if they're not responsible on climate.
But they say you're right to what? You're right philosophically that we need to be green or that we can't put in our data centre?
No, to push the limit in terms of technology, to be at the forefront, at the cutting edge of how you run data centres and don't make the climate problem worse. And we can and will do that. We will build new data centres, but they will be in places where the grid is strong and where we have that capability and flexibility to do it in a zero carbon way. That's the only future. The other future will not work because the world will burn.
Talk to me about your political analysis of where you now stand coming into the next election, and also when you think that election might be. Concerns over Green Party retaining its Euro seats and a fair degree of threat from independents around the country.
Yeah, and I think that is the choice people have, because a lot of those independents are saying their core mission is to stop us going green. Their core mission, they're actually, what did Michael Healy-Rae said? The Greens, he said, they're doing exactly what they said they'd do. In fact, they're doing it even more than they'd said they'd do it. He said, in fairness to them, they weren't shy about it. He's right. And they don't want us to be doing what we're doing. And I think there's a very significant section of the Irish people who do want to go green, who do want to run on their own renewable power, who do want better public transport, who do want a safe local environment, clean streets, safe streets. So, yeah, that is the choice. You can vote for parties and independents who are explicitly saying Ireland should not be going green. We should stop this. And our party, which says, no, this is good for us as people.
You mentioned people have a choice when they vote. When do you think they're going to vote?
Well, 7th of June, first of all, in the local and European elections. And that's the most important immediate election. And then it'll be before the end of March next year.
Well, yes, thank you for that prediction. Do you have a sense of, and do you have a preference as to how far before
March? But the Taoiseach Tánaiste and myself have all publicly said, and I'm happy to say it again, I think we should run to the end of our mandate. I think it is a well-functioning government, but we've a lot to deliver from that programme for government. We can really put the foot to the pedal and build a lot more houses in the next year. So, and we have plans that are working that can do that. We can continue what's happened. If you look at our health statistics, there's been a significant improvement in Irish health outcomes. And I know there's still flaws.
But you do find yourself in a position where you are campaigning against an opposition, both of you saying, if you vote us in, we will be able to deliver that which has not been delivered. And the critical difference between the two of you is you had a chance.
Yes, but we are delivering it. You look at the number of, and housing, go back to that. You look at the numbers of housing built in the last 4 years. It's a steady path upwards, dramatically upwards. It needs to continue. It's not enough. We all have children, and not all of us, but we all have a concern for people in their 20s to be able to find and set out on their own. And so that is a common motive. And I think for the next year, deliver on it, which we can.
Eamon Ryan, thank you so much. That is the Minister Eamon Ryan, Green Party leader.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.